Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
There are Sundays that are tempting for preachers to get off the subject, to get off the message. And Pentecost Sunday may be one of those, because Pentecost has a lot to say. The story, the primary story that's usually told there, the primary text that's usually used there, comes from the second chapter of Acts. This last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, by the way, beginning the long half year season of the church in the church's calendar. And that first Sunday, you're tempted to talk about a lot of things, like the major themes of Pentecost are the church and the Holy Spirit. And of course, there's so much in that story. There's speaking in tongues and the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and all of those things are there. It's the birth of the church, as many have described it. And a pastor could be tempted to, as I've said often here, kind of give Jesus the Sunday off. But you'll notice, if you look at what Peter was preaching on the first Pentecost, he didn't give Jesus that Sunday off. He didn't give him that Pentecost off. He preached Christ. He explained what the Holy Spirit was doing, and then he did what the Holy Spirit directed him to do, which was proclaim Christ in his saving work. Makes a good example of a sermon to review. We're going to do a Pentecost sermon on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 22nd, preached by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, using our ordinary sermon diagnostic. It's three parts, very simple. The first part is, how often is Jesus mentioned? Jesus says that repentance and the forgiveness of sins is going to be preached in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. That's what he tells his disciples at the end of the Gospel of Luke. So if it's in his name and Jesus isn't mentioned, there's something wrong, right? So what you want to do is keep a simple running tally. How often is Jesus mentioned in this sermon? And you don't just want the honorary mention of Jesus, or the footnote mention of Jesus, or the parenthetical mention of Jesus, or some sort of vague generic reference to God, but not to Jesus himself. Remember, it's repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally. If Jesus is mentioned often, then go on to part two. And that is you're simply asking, who's doing the verbs here? Who is running the verbs in this sermon? How often is Jesus mentioned? And then who's doing the action of the sermon? Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? That is, the one doing the verbs? Or is Jesus the object of the verbs? Simple grammar, right? So Jesus could be mentioned, but he'd be the object of the verbs, which would make you the subject or someone else the subject. A good, faithful, cross-centered sermon ought to have Jesus as the subject of those verbs. But there's one more part, and that is, if Jesus is mentioned as the subject of the verbs, what are the verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? What is Jesus doing in this sermon? Is this the kind of therapeutic psychologist Jesus, who helps you and inspires you and motivates you and gives you some simple advice or maybe an example to follow? Or are these the verbs provided by Holy Scripture about Jesus? He's the one that lives for you, suffers for you, dies for you, gives you all things, including life and salvation. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? With that in hand, let's listen to this Pentecost sermon preached Sunday by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living in a very spiritual world. Yes, there are a small minority of people who claim to be atheist, but the large majority of people believe in God or gods, or at least some sort of supreme being. in some kind of life after death, either here or somewhere else, and that there are things that happen in this world that cannot be seen and cannot be explained by science or the laws of nature. Now, just that description alone reveals that while we are living in a very spiritual world, it is also a very confused spirituality. There are many opinions, many claims of truth, because the spiritual is different than the physical. It cannot be seen. It cannot be touched. For that reason, some say that it is not real or it is not important. But others will say that it is real and very important. For even though I cannot see it and I cannot touch it, I can feel it. And so the truth for many, when it comes to things spiritual, is what they feel in their heart. That's what folks mean when they say things like, I'm spiritual but not religious. Or, that may be true for you but not for me. But if the basis of truth, the foundation of spirituality, is what you feel in your heart, then there are as many truths and as many spiritualities as there are people in the world. And what is believed, therefore, cannot be criticized or corrected. There are no standards. There is no right or wrong if what is true is what I feel. This confused spirituality, I suggest to you today, is the end result of God's scattering of the people who were building the Tower of Babel. For though God stopped the building of the tower by confusing the languages of the people did not stop building. They just stopped building with bricks. And they stopped building together. But people are now building lots of individual towers, their own spiritual towers and paths to God. People are still trying to make names for themselves that will last forever. But people are confused and scattered. Like at Babel. Many want to be spiritual but don't quite know how. Many want to forge their own way but don't quite know where to go. So you could say that the spirituality of the world today is quite a Babel. Lots of voices, lots of truths, lots of advice that is all very confused and confusing. But what if? What if the spiritual was not like that at all? What if the spiritual could be seen, could be touched? What if we didn't have to make our own way to God, but God would come down to us? What if what is true isn't what I feel, what comes from me, but a word that comes from outside of me and is given to me? That would be a game changer, wouldn't it? And that game changer was named Jesus. True God become true man. The spiritual become physical. God come to us that we may be with Him. To cut through the confusion and give us the truth. To cut through our death and give us life. To bring together the scattered by His Word. The spiritual made physical. That's what we need. Because we are not only physical or only spiritual beings. We are both. And uniquely so. Animals are physical, but not spiritual. Angels are spiritual, but not physical. But men and women are both. And even though we sometimes act like animals, and some want to be angels, that is not who we are. We are men and women uniquely created in the image and likeness of God. Uniquely created with that glory and honor and majesty as the crowning achievement of God's good creation. But sadly, it is a crown, a glory, an honor, and a majesty thrown away in sin. When our first parents tried to be who they were not, and so became what they did not want to be, a situation not so unlike what happened at Babel. But it was not only because of sin that the spiritual is made physical for us. Even before that, beginning in the garden, beginning with the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the spiritual is made physical for us. Life and death given through the physical, through touching, through eating. And then through circumcision. And the sacrifices and eating of the tabernacle and the temple, life and death are attached to the physical. And then, of course, God Himself became flesh in the mystery of the incarnation. He came into our world not only to show us the way, but to be the way, the truth, and the life.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll listen to the remainder of this Pentecost sermon preached Sunday by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia. It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 22nd. In hour two, we'll do a little more sermon review, and then we'll be talking with Bishop Keith Ackerman about some very odd statements made in Venezuela by Presiding Bishop Catherine Jeffert Shorey of the Episcopal Church USA. Very strange statements. Then we'll talk about teaching your children the Word of God with Deacon Ann DeBate. Stay tuned.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues, Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, Etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing a little sermon review on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 22nd. And in the course of this sermon, we're hearing about the truly spiritual. And it doesn't sound like the immaterial kind of transient, wispy spirituality that's so popular in the world today. In fact, Pastor Douthwaite, who's preaching the sermon that we're reviewing for Pentecost Sunday, has just talked about how the spiritual is found most concretely in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We'll do a little more sermon review on this Pentecost sermon from St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia. And then we're going to talk about a recent sermon preached by the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church on the Apostle Paul and a demon-possessed slave girl. Bishop Catherine Jefferts Shorey says that this demon-possessed slave girl has a glimpse of the divine. She has the gift, the divine gift of spiritual awareness, and St. Paul can't abide it, and he tries to destroy it. It's a very interesting rereading, a very famous story from the book of Acts. We'll see what Bishop Keith Ackerman has to say about that. And then Deacon Andy Bates joined us to talk about parents teaching God's word to their children. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Twitter address at issuesetc. Where we left off this sermon, Pastor James Douthwaite is talking about how the spiritual is made known to us in the incarnation, the enfleshment of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
To defeat the death that had overcome us and give us the life we had lost. To teach us the truth about both what can be seen and what cannot be seen. And to give us what we do not have and cannot get for ourselves. Peace with God in the forgiveness of our sins. And having accomplished that through his life and death and resurrection, and having ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us, he sends us what we are celebrating today. The gift of the Holy Spirit. For while we are living in a very spiritual world, not all spirits are good and holy. Many are evil and demonic and working to mislead us and deceive us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Only the Holy Spirit is given to make us holy. That we have the spirituality we were created to have and be. And so we prayed for this earlier. We prayed, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Now, perhaps you are thinking at this point, wait a second, Pastor. Fill the hearts, fire of your love? Don't those words direct us to our hearts and feelings where you just said before all this confused spirituality comes from? Well, no, though I admit it may sound that way. For still today, the spiritual is connected to the physical. That didn't change from the Old Testament to the New, from the temple to the church, when Jesus came. For on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was connected to and came in the physical, fire and wind. And today he comes in the physical, water and words, same Spirit. And he comes not to point us inward to our hearts to judge our spirituality by what we feel, but to point us outside ourselves, to point us to Jesus, to point us to his cross, to point us to where Jesus comes now for us in the spiritual made physical, in his word and in his sacraments. And so what the Holy Spirit does then is he comes to us and he turns us from Babel to the cross, from inward to outward, from ourselves to God, from what I think and feel to the truth of God's word. To rely on our Savior and what he has done, and not on me and what I can do. That's the Holy Spirit's job, really. So what Pentecost is really all about, Pentecost is not really about cool tongues of fire and fishermen being able to speak in foreign languages. This day is about the Holy Spirit being our helper and comforter by pointing us to Jesus. By pointing us to the spiritual made physical. To the Word. The Word made flesh. Who says, I put my Spirit here for you. My forgiveness here for you. My life here for you. I achieved it. I accomplished it all on the cross. But I put it here for you. The spiritual made physical. So that you don't have to wonder where it is. But you can see it. Touch it. Taste it. Receive it. And so Jesus' words are fulfilled. For he said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And keep there doesn't just mean obey, as it is oftentimes translated. It's a much bigger word than that. The word keep there means to guard it, to treasure it, to keep it as of great importance. For through that very word, the Holy Spirit comes to us and connects us to Jesus, our Savior. And connected to Jesus, you are children of the Father and at home with Him. Connected with Jesus, you have peace in the forgiveness of your sins. And peace of knowing that death is not the end for you. A peace that the world cannot give. A peace that your heart cannot give, but a peace that Jesus can give and does give to you. And so Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to reverse our Babel, the Babel of confusion and spiritual clutter, to cut through all of that and be our helper, our comforter, that we know the truth that sets us free. And that, as you will hear once again this day, after receiving the spiritual made physical, the body and blood of our Lord and His forgiveness, life and salvation, when you will hear, after receiving that, depart in peace. Depart both this altar and go out into the world in peace. And depart this world, whenever that may be, in peace. For just as Jesus said to his disciples, rise, let us go from here, so he will speak the same words to you. When you die, and when you rise, to be with him forever. Until that day, we have a lot of living to do. In a world that is not always easy to live in. Spiritual world doesn't mean an easy world. It is a world where sin tramples us and our sin tramples others. Where troubles challenge us, situations change, and worries and doubts can overwhelm. And we need a God who's not just there or out there or spiritual somewhere. And I hope He sees, and I hope He knows my troubles, and I hope He helps, but I really don't know if that's the case. We need a God who's not just a cheerleader, who's not just waiting for us at the finish line, or like a coach yelling us on along the way. We need a God who's here to help, who's here to forgive, who's here to save, who knows need, who knows sadness, who knows temptation, who knows death, who knows weakness, who knows the clutter and confusion of life in this world. And we have such a God. Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit coming to you and pointing you to that God, to Jesus, on the cross and pointing to the empty tomb and saying, peace. Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit coming to you and pointing you to that God, to Jesus in the font and on the altar and saying to you, peace. Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit coming to you and pointing you to that God, to the Jesus who came for you and says to you, I got it. Your sin, I got it. Your death, I got it. Your need, I got it. The God you need is the God you have here. A flesh and blood Savior for flesh and blood you. So go and live, not in sin, but in Him. The spiritual made physical in you. For His Spirit now lives in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
That's a Pentecost sermon preached Sunday by Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia. I like that. You know, I think it was raised by another one of our guests earlier this week on the subject of Pentecost, that we have there in the New Testament Jesus calling the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Well, does that mean the Holy Spirit kind of comes alongside and pats us on the shoulder, pats us on the back, gives us a big hug? No, he comforts us with the only comfort that sinners have, and that is Jesus Himself. This is what Jesus says. And the pastor's quite right. Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit coming and pointing you to Jesus in all the comfort that Jesus brings and gives and is for us. That's why the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, because He brings us Jesus, the only comfort there is for sinners. He brings us the death of Jesus through that word that is, I forgive you all your sins. He brings us the death and resurrection of Jesus in Christ's body and blood at the altar. He brings us comfort. That's what Pentecost is all about. When we come back, some very odd statements made by Catherine Jeffert Shorey, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, about the gift of spiritual awareness. Bishop Keith Ackerman will be our guest.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.